This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Contrary to popular belief and despite record low U.S. pork belly inventories, analysts say a bacon shortage is not likely. In early February, the Ohio Pork Council fueled alarms by publicizing that pork belly stocks were at their lowest levels in half a century. While the group added there was not an actual bacon shortage, several media outlets published reports suggesting otherwise. Market analysts tell Reuters that more supply will soon be available. Industry analysts attributed low belly stocks to prolonged demand for bacon, as well as a decline in physical storage by speculators after the demise of Chicago Mercantile Exchange belly trading pit. The Department of Agriculture data for January on pork bellies from which bacon is made put total stocks at 14 million pounds. It was a record low for the month and down 4 million pounds from the December record. Analysts say there's no worry for a shortage, though, because hog slaughter totals are expected to rise 4% through the spring, and commercial pork production for 2017 is expected to increase by 5% compared to last year. Well, we've got new numbers to look at this morning for the crop report in the month of February. Statewide, the average temp was 40 degrees for the month. That was 10 degrees above normal. Precip averaged just over a half an inch, and that was just over an inch below normal. Topsoil moisture supply was 3% very short, 25% short, 69% adequate, and 3% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was 3% very short, 24% short, 71% adequate, and 2% surplus. Winter wheat condition rated 1% very poor, 4% poor, 23% fair, 62% good, and 10% excellent. Well, in other news, farmers and others are making steady progress promoting the conservation of monarch butterflies and expanding habitat. But the 2016 to 2017 overwintering population estimate shows an urgent need for expanded implementation of conservation action to improve the monarch's North American population. The survey by the World Wildlife Fund and the Mexican National Commission of Protected Natural Areas shows a 27% decline in the number of eastern monarch butterflies migrating to Mexican forests compared to the previous year. National Corn Growers Association Public Policy Director Ethan Matthews says this should be of interest to farmers as monarch butterflies offer a good measuring point for pollinator populations in the United States.
Monarchs are one of the few species of insects that are pretty easy to track the numbers of, and they are seen as somewhat of a bellwether for other pollinators throughout the country. So as goes the monarch butterflies, so goes much of the other pollinators in our country. We want to make sure that they are trending in a good way so that we know that other pollinators are also trending in a positive manner.
Matthews says monarch butterflies face a wide array of challenges, and the most recent decline was beyond farmers' and landowners' control.
And that is largely due to a very harsh storm that occurred in Mexico in March of 2016. So they had very good population numbers throughout most of the winter. And then there at the very end, there was a bit of a cold snap and a heavy snow that resulted in deaths of anywhere from 10 to 50% of the population. So they had a pretty devastating storm, and that just goes to show how there's a lot of externalities in this situation around monarch butterflies that are out of farmers' control, and that can have a huge impact on the fate of the population.
To help improve the population of monarch butterflies and pollinators, the National Corn Growers Association is taking part in the Monarch Collaborative, which is a group working to develop strategies to support a sustainable population of monarch butterflies while meeting ag productivity and habitat conservation goals. U.S. farmers operate in a key part of the migratory path of monarch butterflies. Matthews says farmers have an opportunity to help improve the population.
So every year they go from the northern U.S., Canada, on down through the Corn Belt, everywhere east of the Rockies, down into Mexico, and much of that is where they do their summer breeding. And so we need to make sure that there's enough habitat for them every year in order to do that. Things like making sure that farmers are spraying only in areas where needed, and they're leaving areas like roadside ditches and other places where there might be milkweed habitat that's important for the species, making sure that those are left undisturbed and that the species has plenty of food during that key part of their season.
Matthew says helping the monarch butterfly now could prevent the listing of the insect as an endangered species later.
We have a current pending decision from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service about whether they should be listed as endangered species or not. So what we're hoping we can do is use this as a model of a way that private landowners and farmers can work with folks in the environmental and conservation community to rehabilitate a species without having to get the government involved. So we have a status review that's going on over at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service right now to determine whether or not the species should be listed. We're hopeful that we're going to show enough effort on the part of private landowners to avoid any type of listing, which we think would be devastating both for the species and for the folks who work that land.
And if you'd like more information about the Monarch Collaborative, you can visit keystone.org/monarch. Well, to wrap up this morning, we've got a few community events to fill you in on. First off, the Highland FFA chapter and alumni group will have a member auction this Thursday, March 2nd. Doors open and bidder registration begins at 6 p.m. A free chili dinner will be served, and the member auction will follow dinner in the kennel at the Highland High School. FFA members will be auctioned off for a four-hour period of work, and the buyers will bid on a per-hour basis. The chapter is also collecting canned food goods for the Highland Food Pantry at the auction. The Macoupin County Farm Bureau is hosting a veterinary feed directive seminar this Friday, March 3rd. The seminar starts at 9:30 a.m. and will be held at the Farm Bureau building in Carlinville. The seminar is free of charge, and you can pre-register by calling 217-854-2571. The Central Illinois Livestock Feeders will have an annual dinner dance on this Saturday, March 4th at the Witt Lyons building. The dinner dance begins at 6 p.m., and for more information, call 217-273-4768. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.